This podcast is about spoilers and discussion. It's also about spooky stuff. You know, any film that we talk about here, we recommend you see in advance. You've been warned.
All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
What an excellent day for an exorcism.
The horror. There is no shortage of monsters to haunt our dreams.
The horror.
You got red on you.
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
The horror.
Alive, it's alive.
Groovy.
Hello and welcome to another brand new episode of Oh The Horror. It's a look at horror films from an expert and a newbie's perspective. I'm the newbie Steve Allman.
And I'm the expert Rob Holmes.
And today we are taking a look at one of the newest horror films that's come out of Netflix. Typically we don't usually have been looking to Netflix for some of the new horror films, but this one showed a bit of promise. And today we are taking a look at 2017's The Ritual, directed by David Bruckner.
Yeah, actually what's interesting is this was bought by Netflix on the international rights, but it is a British film and was released theatrically in the UK on October 13th, 2017.
Exactly.
So yeah, this is a great movie, man. Like, this is a great movie.
Yeah, I was vaguely intrigued just by the trailer that had been coming out, because like every once in a while Netflix just like releases some trailers for stuff that's coming out
on their
you know monthly block of programming, and this kind of caught my eye, and I got a little bit of like a Blair Witch meets The Descent kind of vibes, at least.
Yeah.
You know, we have four friends like getting lost in the woods, and then some sort of weird horror happenstance seems to go down, but we have quite a bit of nuance and some interesting things going on here. So let's kick it off from like what happens in the beginning of this movie, because we have a very good like jumping off point,
right?
Seemingly,
right,
from what this starts off.
Well,
not unlike The Descent, actually.
No, it is true. It's friends reuniting in the beginning to kind of catch up with each other and everything. Most of them are doing well, but the one guy, Luke, isn't doing, you know, as well as everyone else, or not as far along in his life. You know, Luke wants to keep partying, so he's like, hey, I'm gonna go pick up some booze. The other guys are like, nah, we don't want to drink anymore. Like, you know, I think they're saying they're gonna go home or whatever. And the one guy, Rob, is like, yeah, you know what? I'll go with you. And, you know, there's a hold up there.
A
robbery gone very, very wrong. And Luke just kind of, he's a coward and hides behind some shelves and lets his buddy get killed. What a good friend. What a really good friend who just sits there and does nothing.
Yeah, in a bit of fight or flight, he chose to flight, or more paralysis.
But it seemed like there were a couple of options for flight, and he had more than one chance to do that, and a plenty of time, and he froze.
He totally froze.
Yeah,
out of fear and out of like, that's the thing. It's a very compelling beginning point to see. Okay, this is clearly the character's flaw that he will wrestle with for the time, even if I didn't anticipate his friend being killed, but then again, this is a horror movie. It's a very interesting scenario, because when we see these things come up with characters, they're like, okay, it's like you can understand why somebody might freeze in a situation like that. It's understandable. While we all know what we would like to do, we would certainly hope that we don't freeze out of fear. And then we smash cut to them on the trip that their now dead friend suggested to them for a lad's holiday to sort of kick off this beginning of the movie, and they're hiking in the sort of Appalachian Trail of rural Sweden.
Yeah, which is really cool. They're going through King's Trail, so yeah, it's interesting that's what it cuts to right away. Like, they just get to it, and I thought that was cool, instead of going through this cutting to a few months later,
like a funeral, procession,
like a funeral
and then like
procession, or saying goodbye to each one, saying goodbye to their wife or whoever, or girlfriend,
right,
and then making their way out. Like, it was just like, no, let's not go that route. Let's, you know, and it was cool to see it just cut right to that, to just get right to it.
And in a weird way, the movie feels very, very, not surreal, but stripped down of any sort of fluff or actual unnecessary things. Because, like, of course, we all know that these guys have family and, you know, friends or significant others or lives outside of what happened. But all we need to focus on is this relationship between the four of them. And it's a very succinct and pointed story that this is telling right from the beginning that I very, very much appreciate.
So now that they are, you know, out there and they're hiking through the trail, yeah, so Dom ends up twisting his ankle just because. And it's weird because he it makes it seem like, oh, it's really, really bad. There's no way I can walk this far. Then they go on this elaborately long hike through the woods that is supposed to be their shortcut, but then he kind of shakes it off being like, oh, it's not that bad.
And it's a very interesting, so like we have our four friends, Luke, Phil, Hutch, and Dom. We immediately get that Dom is the type of like the hypochondriac, kind of like
he overreacts.
He's very dramatic. He's not exactly the rugged, like strong outdoorsy guy. So when he breaks his leg, he's like, oh God, this is, oh my,
breaks
my
his
leg,
leg
is fucked. Well, like he acts like,
oh,
he
no,
breaks the, his
well,
leg.
Yeah, like, yeah, 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 yeah. He does. Cause I'm like, whoa, no, it's very much, actually that is kind of like, that's also like The Descent a little bit, except instead of a broken leg, it's like a rolled ankle.
Exactly. Exactly. And this kind of touches on these familiar beats of, The Descent, where like we had tragedy struck a group of friends and then they want to like come together and appreciate the friend that they lost or the thing that they lost. It's approached from a bit of a male perspective in a interesting way, where they don't want to immediately confront the things that are bothering them. Like they try to have this sort of funeral-ish service for their friend at the top of a hill, and it's like, instead of trying to think of something poignant to say or meaningful at the top here, like, they just share a drink and say that we miss you, and they pour one out for their friend.
They pour all of it. That one.
They pour all
like,
of the thing.
Like, he just, and it's just everyone's looking at him, and he just keeps pouring the thing. And you're expecting him to just be like, all right, you know, I poured one out. Now you're pouring all of it out.
Pour all of it, yeah.
And for some reason, I just thought, all right, he's pouring all of it out. This is going to somehow come back later as some weird thing to bite them in the ass. But nope, nope, it doesn't. And that was good, because sometimes when that happens in a film where they throw in this tiny little thing, and you're like, why are they doing that? And then it comes back that they would need the alcohol for something, and now they don't have it. That would be a little much. But yeah, I'm glad they didn't go that route. I'm glad it was just kind of like, nope, this is
Yeah, because Hutch is very, the entire movie, he seems to act as sort of the red herring very, very well, because he seems a little overconfident and then in some spots, and then weirdly kind of deceptive in some points. It feels like he's trying, like, because his suggestion to take a shortcut because of Dom's broken leg into the forest seems very on the nose.
You keep saying broken leg, and I'm just like, I know he does not have a broken leg. He barely sprained his ankle.
For all intents and purposes, to him, he has one. But
because of the leg. But he's walking on that thing like just fine later on. Anyway, I get where you're coming from. Where Hutch has that feel to him, but I also feel like that Hutch wants to be this natural born leader, you know? He feels like he is the natural born leader type, and is gonna be the one who is overseeing this entire trip. So he just feels in charge, and like he has to take care of everyone. And that's kind of where he makes some really bad decisions. And no one really calls him out on it.
Yeah, and that's an interesting thing, because it seems to be that he's the one that's kind of the most successful amongst the group. Yeah. Well, and there's also, like, there's a bit of that animosity even in the beginning of the film that we see amongst Robert, who before he passed was like, yeah, he seems to be the one that has his shit together the most. What, just because he has a great job, a beautiful family, and a wife and kids? Where the rest of these, you know, early 30s, maybe even mid-30s guys don't seem to have it as together as the rest, as him. Like, he actively kind of pulls rank in the friendship in an interesting way. And I think that kind of speaks to truth. We all have kind of those friends that are inherently, like, the, not so much leader, but the go-getter amongst everybody else.
Yeah, I would say so. Like the alpha of the group, basically. Yeah. Like, yeah.
But anyway, we actually get into the woods. It's very, very, very well paced about the build up to of tension in this movie, because we have sort of just typical, interesting, very beautifully shot instances of the forest, and making the forest seem interesting, or at least look beautiful, while it's all just trees, is the mark of a very good filmmaker, in my opinion. Because I've seen a lot of movies in the forest, and I can't conceive of a decent way to photograph or make like the setting of the woods terrifying.
That creature reveal, when you see, when they're walking through the woods, and you're just watching them walk, and they go frame left off, you know, and off screen.
Yeah.
And then you see that you've been looking at the creature the entire time, because it moves its head and then follows them from behind. And I'm just like, holy shit. I went back, you know, you can skip back 10 seconds, and I kept watching that scene, because I'm like, wait, I was looking at it this whole time, and then I'm looking back, and I'm looking back, and I'm like, oh my god, I see the face in there. And just
it's this interesting, like, not so much trick photography, but like built-in camouflage to this lush forest.
Yeah,
and it does this great thing where it focuses on kind of one shot, and then it does a slow zoom to like the action that the actors are doing, be they like walking in a certain direction, and your eye naturally focuses on them.
Sure, not on that part of the screen.
And it makes you second guess the actual movement that's going on in like the left frame, the thing that you're not focusing on. There's a multitude of those things where it makes you just like briefly look outside of frame, and then it cuts to something else before you actually see it, what's happening. It's a very quick, very effective way of building tension for the viewer that's absolutely incredible. And before we even get to seeing the creature proper, there are amazing like run-ins at the house, and like some sort of surreal moments that
right.
Luke himself experiences.
So we haven't really talked about that. So they find this cabin, because it's like, all right, first they're going through and they find that gutted elk, and then they find these runes that are carved all over these trees, and they're like, what the hell is this? This is really freaky. And they're like, I don't know, maybe like a bear or something put it up there.
Right.
And they're like, I don't think some wild animal is going to be able to do that. But whatever, okay.
And again, these kind of beats seem very derivative of clearly like, you know, Monster in the Wood type movies. Like the Blair Witch or something like that. But they make it seem very fresh because it has interesting take, and it's shot very, very well.
I have to stress
how good looking this movie is just for a lush forest.
Yeah, I mean it's very, the cinematography is absolutely amazing on this. When they end up going into this cabin, they find the effigy, which is that like human torso that it was like made out of straw or something that they had made it out of. And it has like the antlers for hands and everything, with these giant arms coming up on the sides. And it was, you know, they're disturbed at that point. Like, what the hell?
Mm-hmm. Mangled, sculpted corpse of a animal.
And they all go to sleep. And then Luke has his nightmare, and then wakes up and has this puncture wounds on his chest. He's got like something, you know, these four puncture wounds, like it had just gripped into him. And then you see what happened to everyone else, because everyone's freaking out and starts screaming. You have like Dom freaking out, talking about, I think talking about his wife or something like that.
Yeah, he's saying his wife's name. Hutch pissed himself in fear.
And which Phil is crazy. And then Phil is naked upstairs praying to this effigy. And I'm just like, what is happening right now?
Like, yeah, it's wild stuff. Like, again, like it's we get the ending of the Blair Witch in like minute 25 of this movie.
Right, but we get the ending of the Blair Witch like on crack, man. Like watching and actually seeing what happens, instead of seeing some guy standing in a corner and then someone falling to the ground. This was intense, and it got you right away. It wasn't like this was the ending of the film where something
and then
it escalates slightly more, and then, you know, the movie's over and you're like, "Oh, I wasted 90 minutes." to get to this point, but they get you with this right away.
And then they make probably the first only real, like, dumb decision.
Oh yeah.
Of the movie, and that's to follow this newly found path made by something.
That is Dom's decision, and they just say, okay, let's go with it.
Well, no, it's more of like they were like, because Phil is like, yes, and then Hutch and Luke are like, no, why would we do that?
It was a terrible idea.
Because they're freaked out enough to just, okay, go southwest, go back the way we came, fuck this, we will add a date to the thing. Like, this is enough to make us get the fuck out of here. And outside of that, Dom just says, fuck that, taking the path to civilization because somebody made that. That means there are people here. And clearly, the people that are here aren't ones to be fucked with right now.
Not at all.
And like a bunch of typical guys, they don't talk about the night they had for about a good, like, a half day.
Yeah. They just they're embarrassed about everything. Like, Hutch isn't going to talk about it because he pissed himself. He doesn't want to, you know.
Sure.
And then, I mean,
Dom
yeah.
actively suppresses what's going on. Phil is like, why was I butt naked praying to that thing?
Yeah.
And he's visibly shook.
And Luke's got his own shit going on because he's dealing with his grief over his newly developed
smoking habit.
Yeah, yeah, and the, you know, puncture wounds to the chest where he's like, how did we get these? And then Dom just being like, you did it to yourself. And it's like, what, man?
That's absurd. Like, that's blatantly absurd.
It's blatantly absurd, but, you know, at the same time, we don't know how much or how dramatic Luke was about, you know, Rob's death. So, yeah. Robert's death.
And then we have the confrontation of, like, that starts a confrontation, and then... they confront Luke about his lack of courage when confronting those muggers and not standing up for his friend. And, like, you know, Hutch was the one who was like, no, it's not your fault. It doesn't matter. You did what you could, or, like, nobody would have known what you could have done. And then we find out that maybe Hutch does think that he's a little bit to blame for his friend's death, or, like, at least he's a little responsible or could have done more.
And then Hutch is removed from the movie.
We get to, like, regardless of the fact that they need to stick together because of this rift that's, like, quickly building between them, they have to set up camp again for the night because they actively find another cabin in the woods and say, fuck that.
That is an amazing moment in this. That was one of those things where I'm like, are we seriously going to repeat the same thing? And they're just like, nope. Fuck no, we're not doing that.
Here's my part. It would be at this point if Robert is like, no, fuck this, if Dom is like, fuck that house, you followed the path to the house. This
Fair
was
enough.
Your idea.
Fair enough.
Like, no, you sleep in that house, I'm gonna sleep in the woods.
Yeah, that is a good point. It's like, well, that is civilization, technically, right?
Yeah, you wanted to find civilization. We slept in civilization last night, and look how we found out. I would be livid with him at that point. So instead, they decide to camp out. Luke has another dream of this creature abducting Hutch. Lo and behold, it does abduct Hutch.
It does, yeah.
Phil has, again, been shook and, like, didn't quite see it. And then we're faced with, like, trying to desperately search for Hutch. And then we can't find him. And they're like, no, we need to... And then the one sensible thing Dom says is, like, we're going to get lost again. We have to go back to camp.
Right.
Get our bearings and wait till
light. But, you know, they go back and they're still lost. So we catch back up to them. And they're all just sitting around on these trees just being like, well... We did get lost, so...
Fucking dummies.
Yeah, so they couldn't even make it back, and they weren't able to get to Hutch, which sucks, because when they do find him, he's, you know, impaled on a tree and gutted.
Right, and horrifically so, and the...
Oh, yeah, it's brutal.
Reaction
Absolutely
was...
Brutal.
It's very, very well acted at that point, and it was pretty brutal to see. So then they decide to, okay, forget setting up camp... We are going to be walking straight in that direction for a day until, like he said, to get us out of here. Before that, like, we had this amazing sort of half reveal of, like, okay, we got to get to the top of this ridge to...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because we think we see light, and it's clearly like the ending of the forest, so we could see out into the light. Turns out a bunch more forest, and we had that amazing sort of like half reveal of just like the hand like 10 feet up on a tree.
Oh, dude, that was so good.
Pulling away. Again, hiding in plain sight amongst like the... And they always put it in the center of the frame, and you don't see it until it moves. And it's so brilliantly done. Excellent little reveal. Anyway.
Yeah, no, I mean, that scene where he gets up there and there's the little bit of the hand reveal was... I just love, like, the trees just went on forever. It was like, these trees are never going to end. You guys are stuck here forever. And that's, like, that's the feeling that you get at that moment when they get to the top of that ridge.
We have them desperately trying to find the end of the forest. Night falls falling again. And then we get yet another eerily thought-provoking scene where Luke goes up to like this another top ridge to overlook more forest and trees, and he could see the end of the forest, but it is so far away. It's such a long hike. But Luke's like, "Oh, it's so close." When we have like a guy with a fucked leg and another very, very disturbed friend trying to make this journey for at least another day.
Yeah, but like, he's
that
like
is at least another day's walk.
Oh yeah, but then you know he comes back. He's you know like, "Hey guys, we can go." And then Phil just gets taken by the creature, and
right. We look out and we see all of these like campfire lights scattered in the forest again, and we're like, "Oh God, what does that mean? That's a problem. That's a big problem." And then yet again, another friend is took.
Yep. Phil's gone, man.
He gone. He absolutely gone. Again, it's another great example of not being able to show, be it both because of budget and like you know the reveal. Effectively done.
I feel less budget because of the reveal, and the reveal is so strong and so detailed. I think that was more just to build tension with a good, I mean, it's almost like a jump scare moment, but at least it's not a scare. It's like a good old just jump kill. And what's great about that is, you know, that's when the movie just really picks up to an extreme point. Cause you're like, "Oh crap. Okay. They found this place, but it's found them. What's going to happen?" And then, you know, we find out that Phil is dead. He's, you know, impaled on a tree again. And then they end up going across another cabin and get knocked out, and you're like, "Oh, well, shit."
Well, yeah, and that's another great thing. We're like, "All right, well, we're in the middle of the night. We're being chased by this thing. Let's obviously follow the candlelit, like torchlit path,
right?" Because you
into
think
this
okay.
other cabin. They're like, "Well, fuck it. We may as well hide away from this thing in yet another cabin." And it is occupied by ghoulish Scandinavians that have since chained our two remaining survivors up. And this is when not only does the film get the most exciting, but I think it also gets the most original. If that, like, not to sound reductive, but we've, like, this is a very familiar and, albeit predictable, kind of a story.
Yeah, okay. I mean, I can, to a point, I'm glad it just doesn't dumb down the type of story that this is based on. It's because this has like a classic feel to it, right? You know, it has something feels.
Yeah, there's beauty in this simplicity of a kind of story that we have kind of seen before, but still effectively
right.
done.
But most of the time that we see this type of story, it's diluted down to something that is digestible for usually an American market. But this is it's a British horror film. It's totally different. I feel like they put more time into their films. I feel like international films, for the most part, unless it's an indie film in the U.S., put more time into their films because they want to make sure that what they're putting out there is quality product and not just trying to make a ton of money.
And often to accumulate funds for such a film, it does take quite a bit of time, and they want to put their best foot forward for it.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And it's not like some of these big movie companies can just toss out a couple million to another movie and be like, "All right, well, we'll see what you do. And if it doesn't matter, we can shrug that off." Usually, like, they'd like to put their best foot forward with this. And I think that they effectively do. Anyway, we get the first semblance of what's actually going on here.
Yep. We find out that the creature is, what is it? The Jotun?
The Jotun. Like
Jotun.
Jotun. Like a bastard child of Loki.
Yeah, I was like, oh, that's cool. That's really, that's interesting. It's definitely something that like you don't normally see or think of in a film. When you're like, man, there's this thing that's killing people in the woods. I wonder if it's the bastard son of Loki. No one really asks that. No one thinks that that's what they're going to be seeing.
That Nordic shit, man. It's in Sweden.
I think it's great, man. I mean, I love that. I love that they're going. It's the same like with Trollhunter. The fact that they just, you know, with when Trollhunter came out, it was so, the mythology was just all there. It was just, I mean, it was great. It's a great, great film. And this is the same type of thing, is that they take this mythology and they really just, They go all out. I mean, they
I tell you what, I would have been very, very disappointed if I found out this was just crazy people in the woods.
Oh, I would have been disappointed. That would have sucked, man. That would have been the worst.
Yeah, but it turns out it's crazy people in the woods worshiping this, like, demon beast god thing.
That like, feeds off of their pain. It's basically, it's like he gives them longer life, which doesn't mean, hey, you stay young forever. It just means you don't die no matter what happens to your body. So, right. Like, the elders are, like, rotting skeletons and just, like, decaying corpses, basically.
Right.
But they're still alive. So that sucks.
Which, again, awesome, awesome reveals of these houses. Because in the last bit of, like, actual, like, catharsis between these two friends, Luke and Dom, they make recompense, and they also find out that Luke is ultimately going to live while Dom is going to be like the final sacrifice to this thing. And there's kind of a great moment where like Dom gives Luke the last push to be like, no, I'm staying and you are going to burn this place to the ground and you are going to get out of here. You're going to live. And it's a great thing because Luke is still kind of fighting that with his own friend, even at this point, because he's trying to like deny his own bravery at the sake of being together with his friends. And that's a very interesting, because like he's leaning on his friends the entire time to make him think that he's okay when he's not. And I find that so interesting. In that small like little moment, like he is losing all of his friends in order to have some like catharsis with himself,
it's a pretty terrible sacrifice to have to make.
It is.
Order to be able to deal with your own personal demons.
Absolutely. And he effectively does. But again, so we finally get the grand reveal sort of in the beginning for the sacrifice of Dom to this, and it's such a cool reveal where like they seemingly wait for hours. Like they go, it goes from like dusk to sundown, and like Dom's wife emerges from the woods like there to him, and all of these like other Scandinavians are just bowing, and it like we see Luke like look out from the crack, and then like it's just bam, close up of these like glowing yellow eyes underneath a hood, and these like tiny baby arms just grasping at his face. So crazy looking. And then we don't even get to see how big or the actual shape it is until later, but like you just see him, it take him up into a tree and like just place him gently. I was waiting for like some sort of like violent tearing from limb to limb, but like it just places him there, which was kind of like graceful in a weird way.
Yeah, it was pretty brutal though. At the same time, it was like, what a weird deity. You know what I mean? Like strange. I get it. I mean, it's part of a ritual, and I understand where it's going with that, and I get that. With a lot of these gods and in the mythology and stuff, it's the same type of thing, but just such a weird like, okay, I'm going to place you in this tree now. Just just slowly, methodically, just and branch through you. You are dead. I feel better about this now. You guys, I've marked you. You have a lot of pain and suffering and stuff. I'm going to feed off of it. I'm going to give you extra life so I can keep feeding off of that. Cool. Keep doing that. Wonderful, keep worshiping me. Yeah, and I think it's, I mean, it's a very interesting, that's why I really like that they chose this being the creature instead of, you know, some stuff that we may have heard of before.
Right. And I think the last, like, two excellent crazy moments before we get to the, like, end of this movie were the reveal of the ancients.
Yeah.
In the attic that
that was the one I was talking about
it's such an incredible thing, cuz like you think it's just more like statues
or just dead people
of those like deities that you're like making, but like it's like a congregation of just like Indiana Jones-esque skeletons and like White Walker looking things that are just like crackled over in these like staccato sort of positions, and you just see some of them breathing and going like that, just to think like, oh my god, these are all the people that are just barely alive from
that's when you're like, wait, why would you want to do that? But then you're like, well, if I don't worship the thing, then it'll kill me.
But you may as well, like, at that point, what's the difference? It's a crazy thing, and I like the idea that we get like a smidgen of lore in this story, so that we could actually like it paints a better picture rather than leaving us entirely in the dark as to what this cult thing is. And then I think probably one of my a moment that I actually laughed out loud is that he finds the old woman like at the bottom of the stairs, seemingly about to catch him, and he just decks her in the face.
Dude, he just, like, I'm watching that moment and I'm like, oh, this is so The Wicker Man. It just felt like Nicolas Cage should have been there.
Just pop.
Just punching. Because that's all I can remember from that, the remake of The Wicker Man, is the whole bees scene where he's yelling, mm-hmm. bees! And then him just punching and kicking a bunch of women, which was just very weird.
This movie takes from quite a bit. Like, I've seen imagery and stuff like this before, and I can't quite call it unoriginal, but I certainly can call it very well done.
Yeah, you just didn't expect it. It came out of nowhere, and I think that's what really made it work. And then, you know, we have the moment where, you know, the creature wants him to worship and kneel before him, and he's like,
well, he's still trying to escape, and I don't know why you would try to shoot a god. Like, that's my, like, I wouldn't, that's not how I would want,
I mean, before
let it go
before
out.
Yeah, I mean, before that even happens, he attacks it first. No, he sets everything on fire. That's what
yeah,
it
he
is
sets the he house sets on a, fire
he sets he, the house yeah. on fire and then it freaks out and it just goes crazy and like kills, like starts just killing all of the pagans. It's just like, I don't care. No. You've destroyed, you know, my shrine. No, you're done. And just starts like rips out the eyes of one of these girls, like who's trying to plead for mercy and everything. Oh man. And then, yeah, Luke sees it come through the door. And you see it come through down through the door, and you're like, holy shit, you get a really good look at it this time, and you realize how intricate this creature design is.
It's crazy. It's very, very good. I like it a lot.
And oh, yeah.
The way that it chases Luke out through the edge of the forest, and seemingly toying with his mind again to, you know, feeding off his fear and his pain and his guilt, has been recreating this moment of his, like, his agony, which was letting his friend die in front of him. And in order to get him to submit to either worship him or allow the creature to subdue him to kill him. And in a great fit of like cleverness, like he bows only to pick up the axe and then just chops it one in the face and then runs away. Very good.
That was great. Well, I liked it that, you know, we get at that moment, he kneels down. We get a full reveal of the creature. We've got two full sets of arms, then the extra set of hooves, and then the
and
branch.
It does that
the branch
pose
hooks
that
up
was,
top.
It, that was evoking the actual effigy in the house, and I was like,
right.
"Oh wow, that's crazy!"
It was
like the type
insane.
Of the man body that's like on the top of its back. Like it's an insanely intricate design.
Very, very detailed. And then, you know, he stands up because he's defying it.
Yeah.
And then it just comes down on him and just boom, right to the ground again. And I'm just like, I thought it was going to be more intense and more brutal, but then you see the hands around him and I'm like, oh yeah, it does still have the hands. It's not just these giant ass hooves, these massive, like super intense hooves. Yeah, it was a very cool, very intense moment, and then him just, you know, finally mustering up the courage to grab that axe and fight back right
in
the center of its, I guess, its head.
What would it, maybe its head, its eyes, I suppose,
something of that nature. But yeah, he finally fights back, which is cool to see.
Mm-hmm. And he gives one last roar to the now cowering god that can't leave the forest.
Yeah, which, like, that's a ballsy thing to do, because in most movies, let's say Creepshow 2, for example, mm-hmm. where that sludge is, it's the second vignette of that, and the guy's in the water, and he gets out, and this sludge has been, like, devouring people and moving after him. He escapes, and he thinks he's made it. He laughs at the thing and is like, huh, I got here. He's like, I made it. And then the thing jumps out of the water and sucks him in. It's like, dude, never yell at the thing. It never ends up well. But in this movie, it ends up being okay. And that was awesome. Like, it wasn't one of those where you turn, you yell at the thing, or you think you've, you know, won, and then, you know, you end up getting killed or whatever.
Exactly. It's a very quick and effective ending where, like, you just see a car pulling up on the road and he's just very determined and walking back. I liked it a lot. This is a good one.
It's a really good one. Surprisingly, yeah, like, way better than I thought it was going to be.
And that's the thing. I briefly looked at the Rotten Tomatoes score only because I wanted to see, like, what the general consensus of this movie was, because it has been out for a bit, and it's weird that it's not exactly universally praised, but, like, the main thing that it is that people are kind of saying against it is its lack of originality, and I can't quite see that. Like, yes, it's very derivative of movies that we've seen before, but, like, to an extent, almost all horror movies are, and
I think all movies really are at this point.
Yeah,
unless
exactly.
It's,
yeah.
I mean, they're all based on something else.
And not to say that there aren't any original ideas, or not that unoriginal ideas can't be done well, but, like, if you take things that we have seen before and either make them good or present them in a way that we haven't seen before, which I think this film does both, I don't see why we can't adore this film. I really, really like this one. Like, this has an audience score of 57%. Like, that's insane to me.
Yeah, but you know what? You know, a lot of people don't...
People are idiots. People are also idiots, so...
That is very true. And remember, this is not a mainstream-type film. Mainstream
true.
Films, people will just go see anything if it's popular, you know?
Yeah, very true.
Sometimes, I mean, dude, there are people I've seen who have gone to movie theaters, they have no idea what they're going to see. It's just that film that they heard was good from someone. And that's usually how they say, I don't know what it is. It's that film. My friends liked it. It's some comedy or whatever. And then you find out it's some garbage film that... Yeah, anyway,
the point is,
films like The Ritual, hopefully it will do very well on Netflix. It seemed like it did all right over in the UK. I don't really know. I don't know how big the budget for this film was. It doesn't seem like it was overly expensive, but hopefully David Bruckner gets to do many more films like this.
Oh, yeah. I'd like to see him a lot more on solo project. This shows a lot of promise from him. I know that he's done a lot of anthology films for horror, which right. I actually would like to visit now that I've seen a bit of his work.
Oh, yeah. No, his stuff's good, man. He did VHS, Amateur Night for VHS, and that was great. Like, that was a lot of fun. Yeah, so, and he's done, yeah, Southbound and a couple other things. But yeah, it would be, I want to see what he'll do next, and hopefully, you know, with Netflix getting the international rights, maybe he can get a Netflix deal, which is always a nice thing.
Absolutely, I certainly hope so. Well, obviously a solid recommend from the both of us, and well worth your time as well. Rob, what are we going to be taking a look at next week?
Oh, man, it is... It's quite a doozy. So we are going extreme with 2008's the French-Canadian film Martyrs.
Yeah, all right. We're finally getting to it.
Yeah, yeah. So we're going to be doing Martyrs and then moving through some other French New Wave as well in the coming weeks.
Excellent. Give me that. All right, great. Okay, well, until next time, we are going to be signing off for now. Give us a review on it, whatever podcasting app you care to listen to, if it be iTunes or whatever. It really helps out the show. If you want to get in contact with us, you can find us on Twitter and on Gmail at OTheHorrorCast.
Or Facebook as well.
Or Facebook as well. Figure us out there. And we will see you guys next time. I have been Steve Allman.
And I'm Rob Holmes.
And we'll see you next time, guys.
Me, Damien. It's all for you.
Horror. Come, it is time to keep your appointment with the Wicker Man.
Horror. When there's no more room in hell, the dead will walk here.